Francesca McCoy, who moved here in 1997 from the Congo and then started coming to our church in about 2008, I thought that her story, along with Ashley's, her daughter, would be a great testimony of faith and trust. So she has agreed to come up and share with us this morning. So, all right.
Hi, everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Today is going to be hard for me, and I'm happy to talk to you. First of all, I'm going to excuse myself because of my English accent. So most of people don't understand sometimes when I'm talking or speaking. But today, from where I came from, what I have in my life, and what you guys did for me, so I feel like I have to say thank you to God and to you. And I have to explain why I have to thank God for everything. So I was born in Africa. I came from Africa, which is Congo, and my life wasn't easy. I think people who came from Africa who went to visit, they know what it is. So I lived there since I was born in city, which is Kinshasa. And my father and my mother, they was divorced. That was the hardest part, start in my life. And it wasn't easy for me. I was born Catholic. My mother was Catholic, and my father. And after divorce, I was 3 years old. I went with my mother, with my sister. We are like seven girls in my family. And that was the reason of the divorce in my family, because my mother always had girls. So in Africa, girls, they are nothing. We are nothing. So my family, my father's family, they didn't like it. They didn't like my mother at all. They say because she's just having girls, the girl's not gonna do anything for them. She have to go. And my father didn't wanna do that. But the family, when the family stand up, they come in my house, they took the stuff out, they kick us out. And my mother took me and my sister. I was 2 years old. My young sister was 1 year, 1.5. And I have an oldest one. She was like 4.5. So I can remember that time with my mother took me in her back. In Africa, they used to whack children in the back. And just like that, my father's family come and then say, you cannot stay with them. You have to bring them in father's house. So in Africa, women cannot decide, cannot say anything. They don't have nothing to say or defend themselves. So she have to give up the children. And I can remember how they was taking me out from my mother's back. So we stay with my father. That time my father have to go to work and leave us at home. He just have his old family at home. That was so hard for us. We didn't have a good life. We was abused from uncles, cousins, and stuff. So that was hard. And my mother she was trying to come and visit us, but she couldn't do that. Every time she came, they're gonna kick her out with beating her, throwing stuff on her. She didn't know what to do. She left us. We was going to school. When I was in fourth grade, she tried to come back again to visit us, but my dad and family, they was doing the same way, same thing. And she decided to come and visit us at school. We wasn't eating at all sometimes because we don't have nobody to feed us. or to take care of us. So she was doing cooking sometimes and bring the food at school. We was eating like the stealer. So after eating, she have to go, and she don't want nobody to know. My father knows that she came to at school. So it was hard, that separation and that situation. Fifth grade, sixth grade, they send my father to the village, one of the village, which is Bukavu, Goma. There's a war right now over there. So I went there with my stepmother. My father's family find a wife for him, which is gonna give him boys. And when she came to live with us, that was hard again. But I was going to church, Catholic church, and praying, trying to pray what they teach us to pray, Marys and stuff like that. So, and going to that village, my father, we couldn't stay with my stepmother because she didn't like us at all. And my father sent us to boarding school, sent me. Boarding school was like far away from home. My uncle was living over there, and he said, you're going to stay there. That was a non-school, and they was treating us like was hard, so we have to go find the water. Then, you guys here, you good. We have to put the water on my head, and long distance. So that was another thing. Suddenly, I don't know what happened. My father disappeared. He didn't care. I know he stayed with my stepmother has two boys after that, and he stayed with them, with that family. So he didn't really care about us because we are girl. We was girl, and he sent me wherever he feel like. Over there, I was in boarding school, and I have my uncle who's supposed to take care of me to make sure I'm in school or not. And one day, my father disappeared, and they kicked me out from the boarding for the school. Not school, but for the in the boarding school.
Not enough money.
School because there wasn't money, and I have to stay with my uncle. That was worse again. My uncle has 8 boys, the big one. There was a brothers. So every morning I have to wake up for 30 before I go to school to clean up the house, cook, make breakfast for everybody, but not for myself. And I have to go to school because that school you have to go in the morning and go back in the afternoon. So I have to go to school, and when I come back, I have to wash clothes, which clothes is a man's clothes with my hands. Every time. And my uncle have a neighbor who came from another village. It was the same village. Stay there. Those neighbor, they were seeing how they was treating me over there. And the mother start now calling me after hiding herself and come, I have something for you. She was giving me some food so I can go back to school. And I didn't know her. I didn't even know where she came from, why she was calling me to help me. I didn't know. And just like that, she come and tell me, I want to know you, the mother. I say, how you want to know me? No, because how you are, how they treating you, I don't feel like I can leave you like that. I want to know where you come from, who you and stuff. And every time my uncle's wife seeing me talking to the mother, she was so mad and felt bad. Just like that, the mother started teaching me how to pray. But she wasn't Catholic. She taught me the word of God. She tried to teach me to put my knees down, to pray God so God is going to help me. And to follow Jesus Christ and to accept Jesus Christ in my life. I say, okay. So she teach me little by little, we start praying, and Just like that, I don't know what, how, they sent my uncle in another village, so he had to go. So I didn't have nowhere to stay. And the mother said, I'm going to stay with her. I want to stay with her. She can stay with me. And when I stay with her, she just take me, but she didn't know me. And just with the conversation one day, she asked me where I come from, and then I told her where I come from. I have a mother, my mother. I just told her my story. And I told her, I said, where you come from, that village, I think my uncle, which is my mother's brother, he was living over there. His name is this and that. And he said, no, I cannot believe this. You are this person's nieces. I said, yes. And the mother was crying. She started crying. And I said, yeah, I believe her. I heard my mother came to visit him. And she said, no, I cannot believe. I think your mother that was living at my house for 3 months. She came with her sister, and she told the name. And she said, really, you are Teresa's daughter? Oh, my God. She always cried for you guys. She cried for you. She said, they take away the children from her. So the mother, she just hugged me and called her husband and tell her husband, this is the this and that and that. And that time, my uncle and her husband, they were the best friend. And he called her, my uncle, and said, I have your niece here. What? My niece? Yes. My uncle didn't believe that because we was like a really separation. I didn't even know my mother since she left us. I was like on fourth grade. I didn't even know how she is, how she looked like until high school, 18 years old. So I saw her coming in Kinshasa. And after that, those people stay with me, show me the way to pray, show me how to pray, bring me to the church. And that was a different church, like my church, like here. They start talking about Jesus and stuff. So that time, I just start praying and trusting to God and say, God, I don't know where I come from. I don't know why you're sending me this world. All I'm going to do, I'm going to try because I'm a human being. This is sacrament. It's too much for me. I cannot take it. I'll follow you, and then I'm going to see what you're going to do for me. In my prayer every day, praying, go to prayer, coming home. And they come to send the father, the lady, back home in Kinshasa. They have to go back. And say, what are we going to do with this girl? We cannot leave her here by herself because the father, he's not even there. We don't know what to do. And the uncle went back where he was because he has to go to work. And the father, the husband say, are we going to take her with us? We're not going to leave her here. So that's the way they took me in Kinshasa, back in Kinshasa when we went there. So I tried to find my family to tell them where I come from and who brought me here. So I find my mother's sister, my auntie. They were crying. They were so happy. So they met together. And until now, I stay in the with my mother, together with where Pastor Vince went to visit. And those children, her children and everybody, they call me just a sister, but I'm not really their sister, biologic sister. I'm really good with them, more good than my own sister and family. So, and coming here, one day, the father said, okay, the country is not good anymore because the father will have a good position in Congo. He was working with immigration and stuff like that. He said, this country is not good, so you guys have to find a way where to go. I have to find money to send you guys, like, I don't know, Europe or somewhere so you guys can do your life over there. But for Francesca, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I said, okay, I understand, because I'm not like a biologic. That's the way I grow up. Okay. So we start praying in the house, a pastor coming in the house. I have that life of praying, fasting a lot, just to fight of life, to trust God. And one day he sent us, I went to find a visa, to ask for a visa for United States to come here to visit. They denied my stuff. So I said, okay. And then go back home, my father said, don't be discouraged. We're going to just continue and pray. God, just trust God, you never know. And one day he came with the invitation of going to embassy, Belgium embassy. They was celebrate the independence. We went there. We was just walking, and they have like those French fries and stuff to go and eat. That was like everybody. Not everybody, like people who was invited. And just like that, I went to stand up because I want over there. French fries is something big. It's like you eating something special. So everybody was there waiting, go to just to eat the French fries, and we was there. We have to fight, to stand up. Oh, French fries! And they said, no, before you guys eat French fries, they have to sing the what?
National anthem.
Yeah. And one guy come there, he said, no, these people here, they're not gonna have French fries. And I said, we just said, what happened here? What's going on? Oh no, you guys don't have to give them. We didn't know if he was joking. And I said, okay. So we stopped after the national staff, and he said, okay, you can give to them. Was a black guy. And I said, oh. And he looked at me. He looked at us, he said, oh, okay, you want a French fries? In French, he speaks good French. Good French, you can't even know that he was American. He was from here. And I said, okay, yeah. And he said, okay, the ladies first. So he let us eat. And then after he presented himself, he said, oh, I'm this from embassy. I'm a counselor. Counselor? I don't know. The people who work in the embassy. No. Embassy, like a counselor. In French, we say counselor. So he said, I'm this and this. I just came today, this morning. And then I said, oh, my God. I told my sister, I said, oh, my God, this is the guy who we need for the visa. And I said, I don't know, maybe God just put him in front of us. And we talk a little bit, and he gave us his card, say, okay, you guys call me whenever. He was humble. He wasn't like, because of this, no. Call me whenever you guys feel like. You guys are nice, and you treat me with respect. You wasn't mad, because when I was joking with you guys, I thought you guys were going to be mad, but you wasn't. So he gave us, I said, okay. Went back home, Dad said, you guys have to call that guy. He's a good guy. And then I called just to say hi. He said, oh, I was looking for you guys. I need to know the country. And me and my sister, my brother, I said, okay, we're going to what country, what you want. And he invited us somewhere where we eat. And that's where I learned about doggy bag, because there was a food left. And he told us, here you guys call like doggy bag. I said, oh, okay, we didn't know that. And then I told him, then we need to go to visit your country. I don't know. It's hard to find the visa here. We can't not having visa. Oh, he said, oh, you guys want to go visit? I said, how is your country? We start asking him, and then he said, oh, my country's good. My country's this and that now. Okay. And he said, okay, if you guys want to come this day, but you're going to do everything just like they used to do, come and do whatever they're going to ask you to do. Fill out the papers. Okay, we did then. I went there, I passed my interview, I fell for the first time. And after he called me, I know you fell. You fell, how you feel? I said, I feel bad. And he said, no, don't feel bad, but I'll teach you. I'm not going to give you a visa like that, but I'll teach you. You have to know how to do this and to defend yourself. And he teach me the next day. He teach me how to fill out and how can I respond to those stuff and have my visa. Having visa now, he's like, I don't have ticket, money to buy a ticket to come here. That was the second time. I said, oh, my God. And we just praying, and then I know some guy, but we took loan,
borrowed money.
Money, and he said, you know, you can give me back later. Just let's go buy the visa, or your dad gonna pay me back. Okay, so I took my visa. The first visa is expired. I have to go the extended. The second one, the same thing, and the third one, I have that guy who borrowed me money, and I have to come here. In my last day of a visa was expiring, I was here in the United States. And I have a cousin. She's not even a cousin. She's my sister's friend. She knew me when I was small. And when I called her, I said, I'm coming. And she said, how can I know you? Because I think now you're big. So what are we going to do? I said, and she said, okay, you know what, your name, and then I'm going to come in New York City to get you. She lives in New Jersey. She came here too in this church. And I said, okay. So she came to get me over there for my first time. I was dreaming this country. And when I say, see this country, I was so happy. And then I said, thank God. Everything I was doing in Africa, it's behind. Now, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to leave everything. I'll be behind you. You're going to be my way. Coming, my sister, they don't pray. I was the one who was praying. I said, oh, my God. Here, I start praying. Why are you praying? I said, because I'm here because of my God. He's the one who sent me here. And he said, can you tell me? And then I told her my story. So she started now praying with me. She asked me if she can come and pray together. She started praying with me every Wednesday. We have to fast and pray. So, and then I met Ashley's father the same year. And I got married the same year, 97. And I have Ashley in 1998. Before I got Ashley, I was pregnant. We went to the doctor. They told me, your daughter, you're gonna, not your daughter, but you are pregnant, but you're gonna have a sickle cell.
It's a blood disorder.
It's a blood disorder.
That lacks oxygen and makes them very weak, and they just lack a lot of, plenty of problems.
Yeah, and they said, they told me we have to decide to do abortion. And I went back home. I told Ashley's father, he's not a believer, he wasn't. And he wanted to do that. I said, no. You know why God gave me this? God knows why he gave me this child. I will keep it. I will keep it, and I will pray. I'm going to ask God. If he want to take her, he's going to take her. But I'm not going to do what the doctor asked me. I will go. I will have it. So, in the meantime, I was praying when I was pregnant. But telling God, then you give me this child. I didn't want to have a baby before. I didn't want it. But now you give me the baby. Now I get married. I didn't have a baby before marriage. I didn't want it. Now I get married. You give me a daughter. You tell me, no, I have to do the abortion. I didn't want it. I deny it. But this... Thank you. This girl you give me is you. If you want, you take her. But I'm not going to do something. So I keep Ashley and pray and trust to God. I was talking to God. I wasn't like praying. I was, when I feel like I'm in danger or something, that's the way they teach me. I used to go in my home, sit down, talk. I not just like pray. I talk myself. I talk with the God. I say, God, I will leave this. And I want you to do something in her.
I don't know how, but I trust to you. I know, God, everything is possible to you. No matter what I am, I humble myself to you. Forgive me. Forgive me, but give this child life. Everything they say, I know doctor can say, everybody can say, but you have the last word. Yeah. And then I got Ashley. She came in the world the first day. The first day I got Ashley, I told my husband to go home because I want to stay with her. And like the first day, I have to take her back to God. And then I prayed. I told God, I look at her. I said, God, you give me this girl. You give her a breath. And I want that to stay forever for her life. She's not my daughter. She's yours. I'm going to just be a mother who's going to teach her some stuff. But you're going to be the one who's going to teach her, who's going to protect her from everything they say. You have to be with her. I am nothing in front of you. When you give me this, I know when you give somebody something, you're going to go with that. And that's the way I stay with Ashley. They told me, oh, she's going to be sick, or she's going to be dead, fever. They give us a bunch of medication, medicine, and stuff like that. Oh, she's going to get fever if she get this and do it. Ashley was born, oh, good. She never gets sick until she grow up. Amen. And she started getting sick at 11 years old, not sick. She never gets sick, like sick. It's just the last time. And after that, I started receiving. I have Nathan. I did the same thing, give to God, all of my children. I told God the same thing. I said, God, these are your children. I am nothing. You're the one going to protect us, going to protect them. They're going to serve you. They're going to do something for you. They're going to say stuff for you. I want them to work for you. These children, to do stuff, not for the world, not for Satan, but for you, God, for your glory. And that was it for my children. I didn't know when I'm praying like that God can do something after. So we was just living God, and my husband's family from Africa started coming in my house because the brother called them. They come. Just when they start coming, the problems start built up in my house. And I just take my stuff praying again. And I have some prayer people. We used to pray from Europe, Africa. We did a phone conference, praying every Saturday. So, because I didn't find the church here, I tried to find the church. The first church I went, they showed me, was a Catholic church. It was in Albany. And I tried to find another church, and then I found Grace Fellowship over here. I took my children over there. I started going over there. But I need something, because over there in Africa, when we have like a church like this, pastor and people, you have a problem. The pastor have to follow up the situation with the prayer. Then you have this, let's pray this. So, but here I couldn't find nobody to help me with the situation I have when I start having problems in my marriage, my house. I went to God's Fellowship to find the pastor. It was hard. I can't even see the pastor. It was very hard. So one day with my prayer, when I have too much problem in my house, and my husband's father, parents came from Africa. When they came from, that was worse, because my children start seeing the spirit in my house. That was worse, because I know these children born here. In Africa, yes, we can see spirit. They actually start saying, Mommy, I'm seeing somebody in my house. I said, you, who you seeing? And when she's saying, "Mommy, he's over there," when I say like this, nobody's there. How you can see somebody, I'm not even seeing him. And then I say, "How is he? He's tall, he's like this, he covers himself." Every day, I didn't want to tell nobody, first of all, and then I said, "No, this is something else." And then I talked to the pastor who we was just talking on the phone, and he said, "No, this is a bad spirit. This is a people who came from Africa. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the word of God." I said, "No, they know." They said it. He said, "Francesca, people use God's word, but they don't do what God have to do. They just use God's name to cover themselves." And I got a little bit scared. I said, "No." And it's not good. The children, when they start seeing stuff like that, they're trying to put them in their work. Or they're going to do some bad stuff too. It's not good. You have to save your children. You have to know what to do. Yes. And I say, "Oh my God," praying again. I fast my house. I wasn't even eating. I was just fasting. In my country, fasting is like give up the food. We don't even have food, but we fast. But we are fasting. Lay down, cry to God every day, so God have to respond. God have to do something. And that was too much. Ashley starts saying, even she's in the kitchen or studying, she have to see this guy. And she's screaming. When I called Ashley's dad, I said, "This is too much. We need to stand up with the parents. We need to stand up in the prayer. We need to fight to seek God. We need to stand up because I'm trying to do by myself. It's hard, but I need your help too. So right now, you have to look in for the God. We need to follow God. We need to try to find where, what we're going to do for them." He didn't, because the family was there, he didn't
wanna. He thought I was going crazy,
yeah,
basically.
He accused her own daughter that she's going crazy, she's lying, she's this and that. And Gabriela starts seeing the dog. Big dog in the house.
She wasn't even 3 yet. She was like 2.5, 3.
She's going to scream and jump on you. I'm seeing. That was too much. And I don't know to think how I was. And my husband just say, "Okay, he don't want to live with me. And he's going to take the children from me, away from me and stuff." So I remember how they took me away from my mother. And then I said, "No, they're not going to take my children away from me. It's going to be the same life. No, this life is have to end." And then I put my knees. People just pray. And one day I got a job at the center for disability. I met Debbie Cole. She's the one who brought me in this church. And while I was doing overnight, every night I was on the phone praying with those people. And one day Debbie comes up, "What are you guys doing?" I say, oh, "You praying?" I say, "Yeah, I am praying." And she asked me, "Where you come from?" I say, I come from Congo. "You guys speak French?" And so I say, "Yeah, I speak French." And, "Oh my God, my pastor come from your country." I say, "Your pastor?" And she said, "Yes." I didn't believe Debbie. I said, "No, your pastor, yes." And she said, "Where's your church?" And she said, "Oh, my church is in Leyton." I said, "I live Leyton," because I was living here. I said, "I live Leyton. I've been searching the church. Until now, you know, I've been here like years. I never see the church, you know." "Oh, yes, there's a church." I said, "Okay." And one day she invited me. She said, "I want you to come. My pastor come from Congo. I want you to come in my church and see." I said, "Okay." So she really, really want me to come and see her church and see how the church is. Okay. So she was enjoying my prayer every day, every night when we was praying, she was there, because sometimes when we pray, they have to translate in English too. So she was listing all the prayers and stuff. And when I came here, I said, okay, I still have my situation home with seeing people, with the problem, with accusing. The house was a mess because I was there. I have to clean. I have to cook for everybody. I have to go to work. I have to come back. That's the way it is in Africa. Woman, her place is in the kitchen. Woman, her place is to do for the man. Is my job is to take care of even his family and everybody. So that's the way I raised up, and I was doing it. So I came here with Debbie. After church, Debbie said, oh, wait, my pastor is coming. You have to meet him and say hi. I met Sean's wife and everybody for the first time. And then I didn't believe to Debbie. I said, no, I know the pastor is so busy, cannot see me. Who I am? And no, I said, and then plus, Debbie, I come from Africa. What am I going to talk? How can I talk to him? Debbie said, no, I was over there at the door leaving. Oh, wait. I didn't believe. He said, wait, he's coming. I don't know why he's taking. Maybe I say, I know the pastor here. You can't even see nobody's heart. Let's just go. No, Francesca. So she tried to convince me to wait. And just when I was going to leave and I see Pastor Vance come for the first time, and he said hi, and then I say hi. So in my head is like, I'm African. I come from Congo, so for me, I'm nothing. So it's just come here. My idea is come, pray your God, listen the teaching, and pray and go back home. And when Pastor Vance come and he welcomed me, he say, welcome in this church, and God love you, and God gonna do a lot. Just like that. I didn't take it. Really, but I just kept the word, because every time in Africa when you pray, you have your pastor. We used to trust, we used to respect, we used to see, because after God, God used him. God used the pastor. God, so in Africa, we really, really trust to the pastor who have to lead the church, who we give them very, very important.
Value them.
So, and then I went back home. We went to the restaurant. I went back home. I told Ashley's father, I said, oh my God, the church I went. I started telling him what I see. He didn't believe me. I said, yes, there's a church in Latham. The pastor, everybody was so humble. And then he said, no. And Ashley started laughing at her dad. Said, dad, that's true. They even go out to the restaurant. What? I said, no, you guys lie. And then I said, okay, we just continue with those problems. We have a house and stuff. So one day, I just want to talk to Pastor Vance about my situation. I didn't talk to her yet. And then I have a letter about to go to the court, just like that. We didn't even talk. He didn't even tell me, because the family don't like me, don't like my children, because they think my children they're going to have everything from their father. They're going to take everything from him, from, because he's the first in the family. So
he's more advanced out here than his other siblings. So he has more opportunities than his siblings don't. His siblings want to take advantage of him. Then they think we're going to take him away from them. So they won't have
take
him.
House and materials and money is going to be just for Ashley, not for all the family. That's the way the mother was telling me. He's here to work for his brother and sister, not for his own family. Okay, I understand that. So he, just like that, he sent me to the court for taking all my children from me, saying, oh, she's nothing, she's this and that. But my first time, I have to go respond that the Supreme Court, and I didn't want to go over there. I took my children. My job helped me. I went to the counselor. The counselor said, okay, I'm going to help you. This situation is not good. This is not Africa. This is America. yes, we're going to help you with this situation. And take your children. And she asked me, do you want to kick him? I said, no, I cannot do that. I can't do that. And she gave me time. One day, my husband just called the police on me, just like that. Why? Because I brought Ashley to the hospital. She have like physical. He did it. He planned it so they can see I'm bad mother, so he can have a proof against me. That day was too much. And then I speak up. I told him, I didn't do anything bad to you. Only thing I did to love you and have a children for me. And God is saying me, I'm telling you the truth. If you want to mess up the life, this children's life, it's going to be up on you. But you're not going to. Because my mother left me, and that was worse for me. But my children, I'm not going to leave. But matter what, I don't know how to speak English, because he knew that I was all the time home with my children. And I say, I know you want to have advantage, because I didn't go to school here. My English is like bad, okay, but I will defend myself. And I say, God give me 2 hands and 2 legs. I'm going to stand up for them. I don't know how, but with my God, I will do something. He's just like, hey. I said, okay. So I took my children one day, and the lady helped me. I just went to the shelter. To the shelter, I was there. Debbie knew that. Debbie said, Francesca, I don't see Francesca. Where is she? And in my job, and, oh, Francesca, she's in the shelter and stuff like that. And Debbie said, no, Francesca cannot stay in the shelter. It's not good and stuff. And then the shelter they sent me was in Saratoga. I went there. I didn't even know Saratoga. I don't know anything here. That was my first step now to start opening up the eyes, start looking this in this country, how to do. And Debbie said, oh, but I told Pastor Vince, and then I was so mad at her. I said, why did you tell Pastor Vince? I'm just new in that church. Nobody knows me. Oh, no, I told Pastor Vince is looking for you. Pastor Vince was calling me my cell phone, but I didn't want to pick up the phone, because what I'm going to tell him? My English is bad. I don't know even how to talk. And then one day Debbie said, Francesca, you have to respond, you have to call. And then Pastor Vance called again, so I came here to meet Pastor Vance. I couldn't even explain myself, because that time it was just tears. I didn't know where to start, what to do, where to go. But I was just trusting God. Every night, put these 3 children down, pray. I say, we have to pray together. We have to put our prayer together. We need to win. You guys are not going to be to have the same life like me. You guys, God gave me that chance. You got to born here. You guys have to have a good life. You guys have to work for God. And I start talking every day with them. Pastor Vance, I hear me. I explain everything. I try to explain everything to him. That day, he helped me. He told me, he gave me the word, then I should have a faith. I hope you're fine. I left everything, my house. I have everything. My children have everything. We leave everything at home. No clothes, nothing. He didn't want to give us anything. I said, okay. Pastor Vance brought me to the, social cell, DSS. That was my first time to know that the DSS is there. I went there. They start asking me too much questions. Pastor Vance was there. And he came to the, he called me. He said, you need to leave that place. The shelter is not good for you. It's not good for the children. You need to leave it. Where am I going to go? And Pastor Vance said, he told Debbie that he can leave me, leave here in
the guest house.
Guest house for a while and stuff like that. That's the way I left the shelter and come here. So while I'm staying there, I was receiving the card from you guys, sometime money, to eat. And I know some people bought the bike. Mimi bought some shit for me. Thank you. A lot of people did a lot of stuff for us. So I put my knees down. For the first time, I went to the court. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't even know what to do at the court. They have to tell me, put your hand up, and I didn't know which hand I have to put up, and I'm telling the truth, this one, this one, or this one. I don't know if when the judge comes, you have to stand up. I didn't know nothing. For my first time, I never fight in my country. I never got caught, never. For my first time, I went to court just because I was married, just because of the children. For my first time, I have to face the judge. I have to go to the court. And that court is big. I used to see on the TV. I never see it like this in life. The judge starts telling the lawyer, that, oh, put your hand up, put your hand up. And thank God, my children are here. And I just want to thank you guys to be faithful. No matter what happened, no matter how hard it is, have a faith. And today, from the guest house shelter, I went to the apartment. Today, we bought a house. Thank you for everything.
Gabrielle, she wanted to say thank you too.
Thank you.
And Mrs. Nathan, he wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, God bless. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we are so thankful to you for your grace and your goodness and your kindness, how you provide for your children. Thank you for taking care of us and watching over us, that we can commit our lives to you, that we can absolutely trust you in every situation. And Father, that if we wait upon you, if we wait upon you, then your will come to pass in our lives. There's times of difficulty and challenges, but if we have faith and trust in you and we wait upon you, you will take care of us. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.